Jeff Ashley is a writer originally from Wichita, Kansas. Inspired by science fiction television shows and movies, Jeff has been writing for as long as he can remember. While he has always pictured a future as a writer, he'll be the first to admit that progress has been slow. Various projects and job paths have waylaid Jeff's advancement as a career writer, but all the while, he never actually stopped writing. After spending several years in LA, he eventually built up a body of work he felt confident with and set out to find someone to help get his name out there. But after a disappointing staffing season, Jeff finally made the decision to set out on his own, to bring to life a story that's been with him since childhood. I'm Bobby Gonzalez, and this is Spoken Dreams.
My name is Jeff Ashley, and I am a writer trapped in the body of a guy who works 9 to 5 right now. I was born and raised in Wichita, Kansas, Kansas being the rectangular one in the middle. It was a very sort of normal childhood, not like that angsty comedian childhood. Parents were together, everything was fine. I have been writing as long as I can remember. I would take out my little portable typewriter before the age of computers, and I would type up scripts. I loved script writing. And a lot of my influences were science fiction. Star Trek, when I was very young. Star Wars came out when I was very young. Battlestar Galactica. A variety of things. Later on, it was, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. Just a lot of weird stuff, but I also really enjoyed the serials from the 30s, like the Buck Rogers serials, which they would show on cable. Cable was a big deal for me when we got it, because it really opened up a world of, especially television, from like my parents' era, whether it was, Leave It to Beaver or Dick Van Dyke or The Addams Family or, these kinds of things. So I very quickly developed kind of into an old man trapped in a young man's body, which was adorable. Now I'm an old man trapped in an old man's body, or some would say a child trapped in an old man's body, and it's not as adorable as it used to be. But all of those things were influences on me, and I would write scripts and always pictured myself as a writer. That's what I've always been working towards. I took a lot of detours along the way. I started out in college majoring in advertising. And after about 2 years, I decided, well, this is going kind of in a different direction. And I decided to transfer to film school. All the Los Angeles film schools, USC, UCLA, wouldn't take transfers into impacted majors, which, strangely enough, film and television is in Los Angeles. And I ended up going to the University of Texas at Austin and finished my undergrad degree there in film and television and screenwriting. And we came out here, this was 1994. We came out here and talked with a lot of alumni and things like that, and kind of did some tours and things, and several people stayed out here, and I did not stay out here because I thought, well, I didn't go to film school to be someone's PA, which is, as I look back on it now, arrogant and ridiculous. I moved back home, and I got a job as a newspaper reporter around Kansas City and moved up there and was trying to put together a low-budget film that I had written. And that didn't come together, unfortunately. But all through that time, I kept writing. I ended up going to law school. All through that time, I kept writing. And after graduation, looked for a job in law. But pretty early on, I knew that law was not probably for me. And then a friend of mine, who I'd gone to film school with and who lived out here, said, well, you've got a law degree and a film degree, you should be an agent. okay, because not that sharp. And so I got the UTA list at the time, which was, you know, the go-to for entertainment jobs, and sent about 75 resumes out, and had about 20 interviews, and ended up at a boutique size agency, Lit and Talent. That was my introduction to Los Angeles. All through that time, I kept writing. The writing was definitely more personal. I wasn't knowledgeable enough to know that it needed to get out there or how to get it out there. And this was at a time that was just pre-internet. I wrote for me. I wrote because I wanted to put this feature together. I do it because I love it, and I do it to do it. And I think, well, it'll all work itself out later. But the more I do and the more I see, the more I realize you gotta help it work itself out. After a few years out here, I finally felt I had enough of a body of work to say, to go out and try and find a rep. And so I asked someone that I worked with about managers who might be willing to take on somebody who's a little older, got here a little later, more of a project. And to her credit, she came up with about six people that were really great and were willing to entertain it, and ended up really vibing with this one manager in particular, and he's a really great guy. And so he started putting me out for staffing season, for when all the writers go out and try to get jobs. And I thought I was doing pretty well. I gave a good meeting, but I didn't give a great meeting. I didn't like knock it out of the park, you know. Some of that was nerves, some of that was just being green, and some of that is a reserved Midwestern nature, which is probably the only piece of useful advice I have is shake that shit off fast. So I went out, or was supposed to go out for staffing season a couple of years ago, and didn't really get any play out of it. Came to find out that my manager also had a couple of other sort of green clients who were more in the comedy scene. They were, you know, Groundlings, UCB, Second City, that kind of thing, and they had more contacts as far as showrunners go, things, producers, things like that. And he felt with his limited bandwidth, he really had to push those clients. He really thought of me and really thought of specific box. And I had brought the idea of doing a comic book to him before, and it was not really an area that he knew well, but he sort of looked down on it. Low-hanging fruit was the quote. And trying to think outside that box and realize, you know, if you're doing something, anything that can get noticed as a writer, it can lead other places. It can bleed over into different spaces. And he just wasn't able to break outside that box. So a little over 2 years ago, I let him go as a manager. And I said, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Frontiers, which is my graphic novel project, which has been described as a Pulp Fiction Star Wars, which I really like, and is the humble story of a man destined to destroy humanity and why that really isn't such a bad thing. It is a cyberpunk sci-fi noir. It's dark and action-y, but it's also darkly funny and sort of absurdist. It had been a project that literally has been with me since I was 12 years old. When The Return of the Jedi came out, I was 12. And I wrote a script for a friend of mine and I to shoot with his parents' VHS camcorder. And then I ended up moving away to another school, and that didn't happen. But as much as it was sort of the coming together of a lot of different sci-fi influences, it also had a sense of originality to it and these characters that were sort of unique, and that stuck with me. And as I grew older and allegedly became more mature, the project became more mature as well. And it's always been something I wanted to do. It started, you know, it morphed into a TV pilot, and I tried numerous times to get it off the ground as a graphic novel, and ran into one roadblock after another. But after letting the manager go, I said, I'm just going to focus on this because this is what's been with me. And this is what I'm passionate about. And this is the project that I don't feel nervous talking about because I know every facet of it. I know every aspect. And so I set off on turning it into a graphic novel. Getting that first issue was pretty amazing. You know, I think there's a little bit of a deadening of the senses because you get concepts, and then you sign off on the concepts. Then you get the penciling, you sign off on the penciling. You get the inking. I go in, I do my own lettering. My wife does the coloring. And so, you know, you're dealing with it on a computer screen for a couple of months beforehand. You shepherd it along the way, but still getting it and having it in hand and being able to go through it was like, oh, this is pretty cool. This is how it kind of looks in my head. And now everybody can climb inside my head. The very first convention that I went to, I had a preview issue, a convention preview issue, which was the first half of the first full issue. And I'm setting up at my little table and just kind of, you know, waiting for people to come, you know, see me, notice me, love me, please. And this girl came up who clearly, this was her thing, like, you know, conventions and all this stuff. And so she's like, well, what's this? And it was a little bit challenging, like in a playful way. And so I'm explaining to her what it is. She's like, okay. And so she takes it and she walks off. And clearly read it very quickly. And came back a little while later, full of questions. What it said to me was, this was somebody who was engaged by what I said, then went and read it fast, and was engaged enough to be wondering, well, what's this mean? What's the payoff of this? What's this thing? How'd this go? What's this do? And it was like a fully engaged other human being who isn't me, my mom, or my wife. And I thought, well, that's good. That means this is working, at least in some fashion. And it's working with the target audience that is here and is open to this kind of thing. And that was great. And then so I kind of answered all her questions, and then she kind of walked off, and she came back later on and she said, would you autograph it for me? And I'm like, yeah. That's the way to my heart. Forget my stomach. Ask me to autograph something, because I am just a whore that way. I now have 3 issues. The 4th issue comes out in September. So I'm very excited about that. But I wanted to do more. I'd thought about doing like a podcast adaptation. So for the last 4 months or so, I've been recording for the podcast and starting to put all that together. And now my entire life right now is audio editing. I go to work, I come home, I edit audio, I sleep for a while, I go to work, I come home, I edit audio, etc. But I have the great fortune to have been working with some tremendous actors. Dan Donahue, who is the lead, who's on Strange Angel on CBS All Access right now. Catherine Cunningham, who is on Condor on DirecTV and on Yellowstone, the Kevin Costner show on Paramount. Libby Matthews, she's kind of a new transplant to LA. She's been doing a lot of theater and stuff, but she's going to be in the second season of Future Man on Hulu. John Harnagle, who's a great stage actor, who's been on a lot of stuff in town and TV and film over the years. That's kind of the main cast. I'd save the narrator for last because I wanted to make sure, as I put this together, anything I needed to make clear or anything like that, any changes I had to make to the narration, I was going to wrap that all up at the very end. And I was able to get John DeLancey, who, if people are Star Trek fans, know him as Q from Next Generation and Deep Space Nine and Voyager. As I wrote it, I sort of had him in mind. And Dan Donahue, the lead, has actually been friends with him for a while. And so it all just sort of came together in my head. And so I went to Dan. I said, look, do you think he would do this? And he's like, well, I don't know, maybe. And he said, no, you better go through his people. So I looked up his voiceover agent and I sent them this email and was very, you know, just very honest in how passionate I was and how great it would be for him to do it. But there were a couple of weeks went by and I followed up with the agent. I said, so what do you think my chances are? And he wrote me back an email the next morning, and you could hear the tone in the agent's voice as I'm reading this email. It's like, he might actually do this. We worked it out, and then he just came in and just knocked it out of the damn park. And it was amazing. And it was, I mean, I will admit, I got off the phone the first night we talked, and I didn't squee like a girl on the outside, but I squeed like a girl on the inside. And that was awesome. And he, you know, to hear him say that he did this because he thought the writing was really great, I'm like, wow, this is, I don't feel like this very often. Damn, this is a good feeling. This is a guy who has performed the words of, you know, Gene Roddenberry and Vince Gilligan, Breaking Bad. And now he's doing my words. And I'm like, that just feels good. The process is a process for a reason, but I think to myself, you know, had I come earlier, had I done it differently, I wouldn't have developed in the same way. And who knows, this idea may not have developed in the same way, and I'm very excited and happy and grateful for where it is right now. And I think that I've been an outlier in some other ways as far as coming to things late, sort of having to hard-headedly push my way through things to learn lessons that I probably should have already known. But I think about, like, Bea Arthur, because lots of people do. When she was cast as Maude, that was her big breakout role in the 70s in the Norman Lear show, she was in her 50s, you know? She was an outlier, but there is space for outliers if you just keep fighting. I mean, there's something to be said for being the last one standing. And I've been doing this for a ridiculously long time. It's gone ridiculously slowly, and I admit that. But I've seen a lot of people come and go, and I'm still swinging.
That was Jeff Ashley. You can get Frontiers in hard copy and digital formats right now. We'll have some links up on the website, including where you can also keep tabs on how the Frontiers podcast is coming along. We'll put those up at ktla.com/spokendreams. You can also follow me on Instagram. I'm at SoundsLikeBobby, and keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at SpokenDreamsPod. Thanks for listening to this episode of Spoken Dreams. Until next time, break a leg. Spoken Dreams is produced by me, Bobby Gonzalez, for the KTLA 5 News in Los Angeles. Executive producers are Olson Ebright and Jason Ball. And I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you thought of this week's story, or even tell me your own story. You can shoot me an email at spokendreams@ktla.com.